the second stage tanks now pressurized. 35 seconds and counting. We are still going.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lindsay.
Are we beginning to see the formation of a fundamental shift in the American dream of home ownership?
A weekly mortgage market update.
20 seconds and counting.
Providing up-to-the-minute information.
The absence of Chinese investors in the real estate market, and they're really starting to have an impact, but it's only
on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
If you look at it on a dollar value, it's significant. If you look at it on a unit basis, it's inconsequential to the overall big market.
To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972.
Here's the deal. How much of the market, real estate market, is comprised of this type of property?
12, 11, 10, 9, ignition sequence start.
And now, here's your host of Lickin' on Lending.
3, 2,
David Lickin.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you here with us. It is Monday. Beautiful in beautiful Florida. We're on Amelia Island. We are attending the MBA, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America. They have going on the M&A conference, the Mergers and Acquisitions Conference. And tomorrow, starting this evening, for the opening reception, we have the Independent Mortgage Bankers Conference going on. People flying in from all over. It is well attended. We flew in to this beautiful place. It's a freezing cold, drizzly, miserable weather in Austin, Texas area. So we flew in early, and I got to tell you, we've been treated to some nice weather. Gorgeous day. Looking out at the ocean. Wish you all could be here with us. Again, this is Monday, and we're live from Amelia Island. This podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals. And we are grateful to have you as our listener. Our commitment to you is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. Today's topic is going to be, again, second series in a two-part series on mergers and acquisitions. We've got my good buddy, David Kittle, who is a vice chairman and president of the Mortgage Collaborative. And for those of you who see my Facebook posts, some of our LinkedIn posts, he's also a sous chef at his own Kittle Kitchen. That's when I was in Louisville here recently. I stopped by his house. He cooked up some kitchen. So he's got many skills. He's going to be talking to us about the trends going on in the industry about mergers and acquisitions. We're going to get some additional insights that he has as a unique perspective as the president and one of the founders and vice chairman of the Mortgage Collaborative. Very excited to have him here with us. So you're going to want to stay tuned all the way through to the Hot Topic segment. Also, we want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, ArchMI, the creator of the new innovative RateStar program, Black Knight. Glad to have them as a new sponsor. Black Knight is a leading provider of integrated software, data, and analytics solutions that facilitate and automate many of the business processes across the homeownership lifecycle. So largest one, MSP, the mortgage servicing system that they have. I think 70% of all loans are serviced on the MSP system. Anyone knows about this industry, Black Knight is at the foundation, and it's just about in everything. So good to have them as a sponsor. They also acquired Motivity Solutions, and we're glad to have both now as a part of our sponsorship. Finastra, the third largest fintech company in the world with 10,000 employees, with offices in 42 countries, serving 9,000 companies worldwide. Also, of course, we talked about David Kittle being with the Collaborative, also known on the network as TMC, the power of the network. Glad to have them as a sponsor. Belma, an effective mortgage marketing and email platform. You want to get your word out, Belma's the way to do it. And then, of course, we do have a special thank you. Oh, wait a minute. We've also got our newest sponsor, the Lenders One Network. Thrilled to have them on board, and many more are coming on. We've got a lot of interest and sponsorship, some very high-level major companies coming in. If you're interested in becoming a sponsor of the program, of this program, or the Lickin' on Lending program, or soon the Tech Stack Radio program, give Bill Farmakis a call. You go to our website, Lickin' on Lending. You can take a look at the sponsorship program there, the levels, and then, of course, Bill Farmakis, who handles all of our advertising, is the information is there. You can always get a hold of me. Happy to talk to you. Today, again, we talked about the Mergers and Acquisitions M&A conference going on here at the Ritz-Carlton in Amelia Island. Very excited. A lot of information, big trends, which is why we're dedicating two programs to it. And then also starting tomorrow, this evening, actually, with the opening reception at the Independent Mortgage Banking Conference. February 6th through the 9th, the National Mortgage Servicing Conference, and the expo is going to be at the Gaylord Texan in Grapevine, Texas. And then February 11th through the 14th, we have the Multifamily Housing Convention and Expo at the Marriott Marquis in San Diego. Not a bad place to go for this time of the year, especially as cold as it has been. And also, we have the CRA Residential Lending Workshop at Embassy Suites, Charlotte, Uptown, Charlotte, North Carolina. And the Midwinter Conference for the MBA coming up on March 7th. Lots of conferences. Be sure to get information about all of them. This last week, I had the privilege of being a part of the NEXT, the Next Mortgage Conference. It's the women's mortgage event, and where the women come together, leaders in the mortgage industry come together, and that was in Dallas. Molly Dowdy and her partner put on a fabulous conference. It was extremely well attended, and had the privilege of conducting 9 interviews with leading female executives in the industry, and I can't wait to share those. So anyway, good to have you with us, everybody. We do have got hold of Rob Van Rapport, so we got Rob's update with a Mortgage Minute. So let's start over that. Rob, what you got for us today?
Hi, I'm Rob Van Rapport. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. The big news coming out of Washington was the government shutdown, which now appears to be coming to an end as congressional leadership has reached a compromise and will be holding a vote shortly. Also last week, FHFA Director Mel Watt provided Congress with the agency's perspective on housing finance reform. They stated that the current form of government support for the housing finance system is unsustainable and a long-term solution is needed. MBA issued a statement praising FHFA for wading into the discussion and stating that they will continue to work with Congress and the agency to forge ahead with much-needed reform. Also last week, MBA's weekly application survey showed that mortgage apps increased 4.1% from 1 week earlier, and the average contract interest rate for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage increased to its highest level since March 2017 at 4.33%. This week is MBA's Independent Mortgage Bankers Conference, held in Amelia Island, Florida, from January 22nd through the 25th. We hope to see you there. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you, talk to you next week on the Mortgage Minute.
That's so good. Thank you, Rob, turning that out. He turned that out in literally minutes before we went on air. So we really appreciate Rob and the partnership with the MBA. It's a great partnership. You got to get to these conferences, folks. There's many great events across the industry. These conferences, especially, and M&A, if you have any thoughts of acquiring a company or selling your company, you should be here. And of course, all of us that have been involved as independent mortgage bankers, this is a great conference to attend. Let's get over to Les Parker and hear what music medley he has for us this fine day. Find out what's going on with the macro view of economics. Les Parker, what you got, friend?
Thanks, Dave. This is Market Logics Live, sponsored by Loan Logic. Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for Bucks in the jingle jangle morning. Notes will come following Bucks. The euro gains against the dollar support bearish trends in treasuries and mortgages. If the dollar closes below 90, then the next target is 88.5. It takes a rise above 91 to stir hope of a buck revival. Without the tambourine shaking and shouts of joy in the dollar, the bears can continue to rule in the 10-year treasury note. Rule is too strong of a word. It's more like low-grade fever making the body feel yucky. These views are my own. Go to loanlogics.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
Let's get over to Les Joe Farr. We're on the phone dialed in. We're over here in sunny, warm, looking out at the ocean, Joe. Wish you could be here, friend.
Yeah. I wish
I
were.
It's still cold, drizzly, and miserable there. Is it miserable?
No, it's sunshine. It's still cool, though, but I mean, it's not bad.
Yeah.
Seem to not care a whole lot about the government shutdown. You know, MBS prices have done just about nothing today. Once the reports came out that the Senate was going to go ahead and vote and would, in all likelihood, pass, and I don't know if they've finalized their vote yet, but in all likelihood, it's passed. The market has shown a little bit of a drop in prices, and stocks have taken off again, and most of the all three indices are in record levels. Last time I looked, stocks weren't up a whole lot, but yeah, so it's just like, ho-hum. It's not a lot going on in the market today. The Senate Democrats did agree to open up the funding for the government on the promise that the Republicans will take up the immigration issues that they're fighting so hard for here in short order. The fact that the markets don't have to worry about the funding and all that now for a few more weeks has been met with, you know, very little reaction. Let's talk about last week, though. It was another tough week for mortgage rates. You know,
it was.
So far this week's been bad. MBS prices fell over half a point during the week. That would make rates rise about another 8 basis points or so. It was consistent, too. Every day last week, MBS prices fell, except for Monday, because the markets weren't open. The big rally, a big rally in stocks on Wednesday is really what started the hurt for mortgage rates. Some of that rally reversed on Thursday, but still mortgage rates fell, or rose, more MBS prices fell. Housing starts were overall weak on Thursday, but when you really looked into it, much of that was attributed to weather, and when you look at permits were pretty strong. So maybe that was part of the reason rates continued lower, or prices continued lower. Jobless claims on Thursday day fell to 220,000, which was the lowest level it's been in like 45 years. So consumer sentiment last week came in a little short. So, you know, last week was tough. So far this year has been tough on mortgage rates. Looking at the week ahead, nothing on the calendar today or tomorrow. Existing home sales will come out on Wednesday. New home sales come out on Thursday. There'll be an ECB meeting on Thursday, and as Les referred to in his song parody, the ECB could do things that could cause euro to continue to rally against the dollar. You know, no major change in policy is expected, but people will be looking for any change in guidance. There's been some stronger talk out of the ECB and members of the ECB of late, in that the ECB economy seems to be picking up and inflation seems to be moving in the right direction, that there could be some change in guidance as it relates to that. So be on the lookout for early Thursday morning for anything that might come from the ECB. Friday, really, for the U.S. markets, is the big day. Primarily, it's first look at fourth quarter GDP. 2.9 is expected, the expected growth for the quarter, the annualized growth for the quarter, which is a little lower than how it the final look at the third quarter at 3.2. But that's going to come out at 8:30 on Friday, along with durable orders. Also, you know, usually a significant event. But, yeah, the big one this week is going to be GDP. So be on the lookout.
GDP. What time is that? It's Friday. And at what time?
8:30 Eastern.
Yeah. Will there be a lot of activity trading in anticipation of that, do you think?
You know, I think Thursday and Friday could be the volatile days next week. I think what the ECB does, or if they do nothing, could create a little volatility, and then the anticipation of the GDP number and the reaction to it could create a little more volatility.
Going to be interesting, but you just hang on to it and we'll go from there. But anyway, it's so good to have you dial in. Appreciate it. This is going to be, as Les Parker pointed out in his segment, or his Hot Topic segment on the January 8th podcast, first opening program. We can anticipate a lot of volatility, and there's a lot of companies we're concerned about that may not be ready for this level of volatility. And the volatility this year is not going to be extraordinary outside of what we consider a normal range. But it was greater than it has been recently, certainly greater than last year, completely over 200 basis points spread, and last year was under 60. So this could have some dire consequences. People better figure out their heads, Joe, and have it working. Make sure it's working. Appreciate you being in here with us, friend.
And you're welcome.
Glad you got some sunny, warm weather. Sunny weather back there. It's still cold, but anyway, I wish you could join us out here. Good to have you with us, Joe Farr, and we're going to be right back after this brief word from our sponsor, Velma, stands for Virtual Electronic Marketing Assistant.
Are you using one of those expensive CRMs that your loan officers won't use? If so, then give my friends at Velma a call and let them help you create a customer journey that relies on the data and not on loan officer interaction. I encourage you to consider working with Velma to create a truly automated marketing experience for your organization. Velma makes marketing automation easy. Schedule a demo today at Velma.com, V-E-L-M-A.com.
The Mortgage Collaborative was founded by former chairman of the NBA, John Robbins and David Kittle, and leaders at the forefront of the diversity movement in the real estate industry, Jim Park and Gary Acosta. The Mortgage Collaborative is the nation's only independent cooperative. The Collaborative provides its members the opportunity to meet and form meaningful relationships with top mortgage professionals and leaders in our industry. In a relationship-driven business such as ours, often who you know is as important as what you know. To learn more, go to mortgagecollaborative.com or call Rich Swarbinski at 440-552-0691. The power of the network.
So good to have all of our sponsors. Of course, we've got David Kittle here, going to be in the Hot Topic segment. Stay tuned all the way through. And he's actually going to get it in also on the tech stack or on the technology interview. We're going to get a couple of his thoughts on that. Alan's going to grab it. Alice Alvey normally would join us at this point in time, and so I'm going to go out on a limb and actually read Alice's comments. Now, I got to tell you, folks, this is a little bit getting on thin ice for me. Alice does a great job on this. I have no problem filling with Joe if he's not available, but I do my best on this one. But let's talk about it. Alice sent me some notes over. The most important thing is there's been no new movement on regulations. All the focus has been on the government shutdown, as we already talked about. But she did say it's flood insurance issues. Their loans will not be able to close without evidence of a flood insurance policy. Write your own companies are impacted too. Here's a link, and I'll be putting this in our show notes. Your WYO or write your own policy and how these options can be impacted with government regulation, some of the aspects of it. There, so for those that are doing the write your own policy, be sure to click on the link in the show notes. Again, I'll update those show notes as soon as we get done here. WYO, or the Write Your Own Policy, is very convoluted and requires a full understanding of the date of the flood insurance application, the date of the premium payment, and the number of days the policy is being pending. In other words, in short, if an application request to increase coverage is dated after the lapse in authority, the policy request cannot be issued. If the application date or request to increase coverage is on or before the date of your last effective authorization, and the insurer receives the application and request, and the premium payment has been made in the lapse period, or at least within the last 10 days, then things are going to be okay. Now, there's a number of factors that go into this. I encourage you to go check out the link. If the application or request to increase coverage is dated after the lapse authority, the policy cannot be issued. So, it's again, Al said it's a little bit convoluted. Just got to go in and read it. Take a look at the link in our show notes. Processing issues. The MBA put together a cheat sheet on the various ways, and there's a lot of statements regarding the references in here. I'm not sure I'm reading our notes quite correctly here. We don't know how it will be handled under this administration. That's one of the comments regarding the MBA's comments on their cheat sheet. In the past, there has not been much of an impact on FHA or VA loans as far as loan processing closing. There may be a holdup in insuring, but assuming the government is back up and running in the next few days, then everything should be fine. Again, we're just hearing now that they're signing it. So processing issues regarding FHA, VA payments, I think that's going to be a moot point. We'll put the notes up here anyway, but I think with the latest news, I think we should be okay. Be sure to tune back in here with Alice Alvey. She'll be giving you some more regulatory updates now that the government's going to be back up and running, it looks like. Next week we'll be there. Alice is Vice President of Education and Training at Union Home Mortgage. And I ran into Bill Cosgrove down below at the conference downstairs in one of the sessions, and we will be filtering in some of his comments during the M&A interview. Hurry back, Alice. We need you back. I blew that one bad. Anyway, quick word from our sponsor.
Hey, thanks a lot, David. Finastra is extremely proud to be a key sponsor of the Licking on Lending program. Known formerly as DNH, Finastra's global lending division provides end-to-end solutions and innovation to the full spectrum of lenders, including independent mortgage bankers, community banks and credit unions, and even the largest banks globally. Learn more about how you can provide an innovative digital experience for your borrowers by leveraging our multi-channel point-of-sale solution, which includes the new MortgageBot Mobile, by visiting our website at finastra.com.
Alan, you're joining us in this little bit of an event here, so we're trying to do this live. So what you got for us?
Hey there. Well, perfect. I thought since we were here, we might as well take advantage of being in person. And David, you have a lot of different interest in the industry, I would say. And so now would be a great time to talk a little bit of the technology side. For those of you that don't know, and you'll get introduced by David again in a moment, you are the vice chairman of the board and president of the Mortgage Collaborative. What I wanted to talk today with you about is technology. I've been fortunate enough to be a member of the Collaborative from when you started, and I think I've seen a great collaboration between lenders and vendors. And I think as you continue to build your list of members and folks start to have great fluid conversations, what would you say on the technology angle of the industry your lenders and vendors have in common with each other, whether it's looking for operational efficiencies and what people now call a digital mortgage, or if it's gaining the speed of cycle time and lowering their costs, or it's just getting ahead of their competition or being competitive? Love to hear what you think.
Well, thanks for having me on, and it's a real pleasure to be back on David's show. Again, TMC is a great sponsor of Licking on Lending, and David's a good friend. I would answer to it this way. The Collaborative creates the environment. If you are a vendor and you have an idea, or a lender that has an idea, you bring it to us, it makes sense. We create the environment for your opportunity to put it together, and I'll give you a great example. Our vendors came to us, a couple of them, and they wanted to create what is now called the Digital Mortgage Alliance. And we did that the first time at our conference this summer, and then we had a meeting at the MBA Annuals. They're meeting now as we speak. It starts at 1:30 today. The meeting was so popular, we had to change location. So many people came to attend. The room we had wasn't big enough. So we created the environment for best practices, better talking to each other. Now, remember, I'm not an IT specialist. So when you want to talk to each other digitally, we're creating that environment for our vendors to create best practices so they can improve their efficiencies. And that's going on right now. So,
wow, very interesting. I think that your lender members are probably very appreciative of the fact that you are looking for a best of breed vendor relationship, because there's a lot of vendors out there and not every vendor is always well aligned for every lender. And each lender has their own intricacies of how they operationally provide or manufacture a mortgage loan. Something that I've been following very closely are two things. One is you've created what you call the TMC benchmark, which I'd love for you to chat about briefly. And I think it'd be interesting to see how you expand upon that throughout the year. But also the collab labs. And I think very interesting, a lot of people think of think tanks and war rooms and ways that folks can get together and talk about how they may be very similar but very different, and how they can come together and share ideas, technology, operationally, strategically, about how to really enhance and evolve themselves in this industry. So what do you think? Let's talk on a technology angle, but more than welcome to talk operationally as well. I'd love to hear your thoughts and how the collaboration labs have been growing.
Okay, the collaboration labs, again, were the ideas of our lender members. So the environment was there to create them and now been going on for over a year. We put together like lenders geographically dispersed across the country. They meet at one of the six, no more than six lenders get together. Meet in their office space. Some are even taken to the homes for dinner. They all sign NDAs, and they get together and they talk about everything good and everything bad in their company. And it's not so they can beat each other up and take each other's business away. It's to make a better mortgage space for everybody to live in, to improve your competition. Think about that. To get together to improve your competition and make them better, so you're better and all the customers are served better. That's what the collab labs are about. And the lenders absolutely love it.
I think they become advocates of each other, right? Yeah. So you have a borrower that comes in and the borrower may be looking at one or two different lenders, and somebody can say, hey, you know what, you're working with that other group, they're fantastic. I'll tell you what, if you have any questions, you give me a call. So the advocacy that you're creating and the common ground that you're breaking down the barrier of letting people talk to each other. And I think, you know, City Mortgage just made a big announcement where they're making an entrance back into the digital mortgage space, or into the digital mortgage space, I should say. And they've partnered with Digital Risk and Black Knight Financial. And they're trying to offer the borrower a self-service type of relationship, as well as a white glove service. So if you still want to call and talk to somebody, you can. And there's all kinds of interesting analytics and statistics out there about how borrowers still want that touch and feel, but they love the digital experience. I think this will be a huge year for the collaborative, where vendors will be able to spotlight and display what they've been working on and help those lenders understand how to leverage their software. So instead of the sales spin of what a lot of people say, show up and throw up, where I just show you all my technology and sign here, it'll be a more collaborative type of environment, more fluid conversation, where your members will get a real benefit of intimately spending time with those vendors.
Well, I agree. Our vendors are putting this together themselves. Like I said, the meeting's happening right now, and that's just going to improve the environment and improve the bottom line, the efficiencies, and increase the margins for the lender members of the Mortgage Collaborative.
Great. Well, it'll be an exciting year. I look forward to following the collaborative and hearing more. And I'm going to end here, David,
yeah,
so that the hot topic has plenty of roadway and time.
Oh, yeah.
So, David, thank you very much.
Alan, thanks. So we're in your backyard. This is your area.
That's right. I'm 30 minutes south. It's about 2 degrees warmer.
That's amazing. It's Chip, when we're doing this, we're all gathered in David Kittle's room here. It's just hilarious that we're pulling this off. Anyway. Good to have you with us. Let's come out to Jim Jump, a message from Arch MI. I have the privilege of speaking to their national sales organization on Wednesday and giving a keynote speech out there. It's a real honor to be invited. This is a great group of people. I encourage you to get to know your local representative, get in relationship. The RateStar app will really help you get the risk-based pricing that will give you the best advantage. Really great stuff. So with that, let's get over to Jim Jump and get the word from Jim.
Thanks, David. Let me tell your audience a little bit about ArchMI RateStar. RateStar is the most sophisticated pricing solution for mortgage insurance quotes ever built. RateStar has an advanced revolutionary design. It's simple to use, it's easy to access, and it's fully mobile. You can access it anywhere, anytime. RateStar provides a more sophisticated and dynamic pricing solution, far superior than conventional rate sheets. It's available on loan origination systems through many pricing engines, and it rewards your origination of high-quality loans, again, with our most competitive rates. Of course, RateStar is backed by ArchMI's people power, providing superior support and service whenever you might need it. For more information about RateStar, please go to archmi.com or archmicu.com for credit unions. Thanks, David.
Appreciate you, Jim. Appreciate the opportunity to work with the fine folks there at ArchMI. Let's get over to the Profit Doctor. I always like to get his perspective, and he's also behind the scenes texting me going, that life, Mike's live. Andy, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you sitting behind the scenes, behind the curtain, and you have run many a switchboard. I'm in your territory, and I sometimes still, as long as we've been doing this radio program, I feel like, oh, glad Andy's on the line here to give us, to kind of help us through it. But anyway, it's good to have you here with us. What
yeah.
you got for us, friend?
Well, thanks, Dave. Yeah, it's actually a lot of fun running those big soundboards. I haven't done it in years, but I used to, and it's you know, the power of the presentation is in the sound man's hand. So one of my email addresses is sendman 1000. So it's, you got to be nice to them because they can like make your life not good.
Yeah.
Well, so this is kind of the continuation. I got 2 points to make, one on accounting and one on M&A. This is kind of just the continuation of, it's still January, and we haven't done everything yet.
Right.
We still got to get the W-2s out, the 1098, 1099, financial reporting, year-end audit, all stuff has to get done this month, or at least we're working on it, and then tax returns in March and HMDA coming up in March. And there's just a lot to keep up with, a lot to do. Accounting is like head down making that happen.
Yep.
Now, about M&A real quick, a couple of quick points, and I'm not going to go over what I went over last week. Last week, I basically mentioned that, you know, Chuck Klein in here at MBS is like eHarmony. He, like, puts people together,
yeah.
And then he and I and our team work together to be the private investigator to make sure that you know the truth about who you're getting married to. And that's what an M&A transaction is like. It's like getting married. You've got to have philosophical alignment. You got to believe in the same vision and so forth. But you also got to, before all of that happens or as that's happening, one of the things that's essential, and this is what I was going to talk about today, Mr. Licken, is valuation. Because what are you going to get when you get there? Once you do the M&A transaction and it's all said and done and you hired Troy Garrison and Mitch Kider to do your documentation and you got it, it's yours, like you bought the house, you bought the motorcycle, now what? And man, it's integration, it's deployment, it's technology alignment, but before all of that happens, you've got to know how much you're going to make. What's the cash flow going to be? What's your ROI on this investment going to be? What's your payback period? What's the net present value? How do you figure that out? What's a realistic forecast? And what's volume going to be next year? You know, Dave, you and I have worked on deals where people come out with a hockey stick and say, well, you know, we've done $30 million a month, but suddenly once we do this acquisition, we're going to do $70 million a month. It's like, really? Oh, and by the way, we used to make $104, now we're going to make $106 on everything. So we double our margins and increase our volume, and then we wonder why it fails. You got to be realistic about forecasts and volume increases, and probably it's going to go down before it goes up because disruption always has a cycle time to get settled, and margins may change, especially when you have name changes of a company. There's so much of this to really digest. It's not as simple as it sounds. It's not a light switch, and you got to know the finance behind it. You got to know your cash flows, and got to know how that drives ROI, net present value, forecasts, margins. The key thing I would say is don't guess. Now, any forecast is based on assumptions, but you can make really good, logical, business-savvy, mortgage industry-aware assumptions that drive an outcome. And so I would really encourage people, make sure you got your numbers right when you do an M&A.
Get them right. Get a hold of Andy Schell. Get a hold of Andy Schell, and to help you get them right. I mean, you and Chuck work as a very much of a partnership and a team in these M&A transactions. You do a great job on it, and it's so important that you get a realistic focus on what things are going to look like afterwards. And there's nobody better to give you a reality check than Andy Schell. Appreciate it very much.
Well, you're kind of
dialing in, Andy. Good to have you here with us, friend. It was fun seeing your business partner, our good friend, and earlier today at breakfast. It was a real treat. But anyway, get a hold of Andy Schell, the Profit Doctor, at andy@mbs-team.com if you're looking for some help. Appreciate it very much. Let's run over and talk to our sponsor, Motivity Solutions. John Maynell has got the KPI of the week for us. John?
Hi, Dave. Thanks very much. Great to be back. And this week's key performance indicator is application to underwriting cycle time. This KPI is a measurement delivered at business days, and tracking this metric helps lenders ensure that their processes upstream from underwriting are as efficient as they can be. Our clients generally find that the sooner their qualified borrowers receive an underwriting decision, the less likely those borrowers are to shop around. So this KPI can ultimately boost app-to-funded pull-through as well, which is the KPI we focused on last week. So we're really beginning to connect the dots between operational efficiency and customer satisfaction. And once again, this and other KPIs we will be talking about in the coming weeks always demonstrate that what gets measured gets results. And with that, I will thank you again, Dave, and turn it back to you.
So true. What gets measured truly does get results. And I have the newly appointed, newly promoted Beth Ossinger right behind me looking over the shoulder. Now, normally she's in South Carolina when I get to do these podcasts, but she's joining us here live. So we're going to try to coach her out. She does a really good job at what she does, but trying to get her on the radio program, we're going to have to work on that a little bit anyway. Appreciate you, John Maynell, for doing that. We believe in you, especially with the process management that we do, process consulting we do. Before we get into the interview on our Hot Topic segment this week, let's hear from Black Knight, the leading provider of data analytics and solutions, the facility, and automating many aspects of the business processes across the home ownership platform. So without further delay, let's get over and listen to the ad from Black Knight. Be right back.
Did you know that the impact from Hurricane Harvey, Irma, and Maria has caused historic damage to thousands of homeowners in the impacted areas? The results reported by Black Knight's data and analytics team state that there were 4.38 million mortgage properties within the Harvey and Irma FEMA-declared disaster areas. An estimate of just over 400,000 mortgage properties in Puerto Rico as a whole and the entire territory has been declared. Altogether, these properties represent approximately $755 billion in unpaid principal balances. Identifying properties damaged by these devastating storms is cumbersome and time-consuming for servicers. So in order to help, Black Knight has introduced disaster tracking capabilities within its LoanSphere MSP servicing system. The new functionality actually sweeps servicing portfolios to quickly identify properties in FEMA-declared disaster areas. If you want to learn more, call 844-474-2000. 2537 and you can ask Black Knight or email askblacknight@bkfs.com.
Black Knight, get a hold of him. Great group of people. Tom Sanzone, the leadership he's brought to Black Knight, they're no longer three separate silos. They are coming together as a dynamic, exciting company. Tom, and to all the folks there at Black Knight, we're honored to have you as a sponsor. Well, guess who's sitting next to me here? Get ready to join me on the podcast is my good friend, David Kittle. David, good to have you here, friend.
Thank you, David. It's always good to be with you.
David is also the vice chairman of TMC, the president of TMC, the Mortgage Collaborative. We need to talk a little bit about some of the stuff. You and Alan talked a little bit about some of the stuff going on in the Collaborative, but you guys are represented here. You've got a good group.
Great group. Yeah, we have Rich and Tom and Jen are here, and Jim Park, our CEO, and they're all conducting all the meetings and got the Digital Mortgage Alliance going on right now. So
the vice chairman is sitting behind up here doing a radio program, you know, going out. That's good. That's really good. You and I both share a great friendship with Mitch Kiter.
We do.
And Mitch is such a good guy, and I just really appreciate the wisdom. And last week he talked about M&A, gave us some perspective on it. So we're going to go to there, and then as we advance, we're going to get your thoughts on many aspects of what's going on in the industry. But let's go to what is going, your perspective, what do you see happening in the world in M&A? Is this something that we're going to anticipate a lot happening in 2018?
Big shoes to follow behind Mitch Kiter.
Oh, yeah.
Great friend. So I'm not going to practice law without a license today. But here's what I see for this year going forward. It's kind of two trains of thought. All the predictions are that volume's going to be down, originations are going to be down. You're not going to do as many loans because refis are going to go away. I still think, and I have nothing to back this up. So this is the one.
It's an opinion piece.
This is an opinion piece.
That's
that
good.
I think the economy is.
You're a good guy to go do it for opinion on the industry.
Yeah, the economy is doing so well, and I think it's going to continue to do well. You know, you've got a shutdown right now in the market. Just looked at it and said,
yeah,
who cares?
Yeah, who
right?
cares?
So we're on a good train track with the economy that I think it's going to spur interest in home buying because people's pockets are going to have more money. That's one thought. Mm-hmm. The other thought is that volumes of origination are going to be down like MBA says. If that happens, then you're going to see the independent mortgage bankers, my opinion, again, nothing to back this up, and you're asking for opinions.
Yeah, that's right? Exactly right.
Exactly. Is that you're going to see, we talk mergers and acquisitions, it's going to be more acquisition than merger. And I think when you're sitting at a table and you're...
You anticipate more acquisitions than the mergers per se. That's
I do.
Just
from
okay.
the independents. I
okay.
do. It raises some interesting issues. Because over the past few years, more and more independent mortgage banks have started servicing and subservicing.
Mm-hmm.
So now when you were acquiring somebody or being acquired, if you're not with the same subservicer, that's a particular set of dynamics that hasn't been out there before. You always have the culture issues when you're acquiring or merging any company. You know, who remains at the top? But I think if you're not at the table acquiring somebody, you're probably going to be acquired. And then there's going to be those people who have the cash, even though their profits are down, that they'll stay to their culture, stay to their principles, and ride the storm out. But I think you're going to see, to answer your question, quite a few acquisitions.
Acquisitions, quite a few. Let's talk, before we go there, Bill Cosgrove shares your opinion. Another guy that we both respect tremendously. You're a good friend, someone you've known for a long, long, long time. Bill says there's one of the driving forces, as I saw him down at M&A conference, so before we came up here, I said, hey, Bill, I'd love to get your comments on this. We can quote you on the radio. And he says, because of the amount of excess capacity, he thinks that's going to be one of the driving factors to why there's going to be. When you have excess capacity, there's companies going to be losing money and struggling to make money or as much money as they made, probably the better way to say it. He did not say they're losing money. That was my interpretation of what he said, but I want to make sure I'm very clear on that. But there is a very distinct possibility that we could see earnings shrinking to the point where people are going, maybe it is better that we pool our resources and get together. That's why the merger thing appeals to me, but acquisitions might be more the case as a result of that. We saw the acquisition last week, the announcement of Guild buying the Cornerstone, not the Cornerstone in Houston, but the Cornerstone up in St. Louis, mm-hmm. way up in the mid part of the country. That was a strategic alliance, not because Cornerstone was not doing well, but they were positioning themselves. So do you see this as well, what percentage, David, do you see as you know, because of trouble in River City, volumes are down, that we're going to see some consolidation versus positioning. Any thoughts on that?
Well, if you're out, if you've got the cash and you're growing,
right,
then you're a strategic buyer and you want to get in the right geographic state or area. So, yeah, I think that do play from the strategic end. If you're in the selling mode and you see your profits shrinking and you may be around, have been around for a while in the business.
Right.
And you look around, so maybe it's just time to cash out. And you have some people that maybe want to sell and go away and not remain.
Yeah.
That's the acquisition part that I'm talking about.
You look at the aging population of many independent mortgage bankers. That's got to be.
Why are you looking at me?
Receding hairlines, gray hair. You got good hair, though. You got to get that going. But about my gray hair, but yeah, there's a group of us getting older. Some of us try to retire and can't. That'd be me. There's some of you, like you had a successful run. You had your own mortgage banking company. You sold at some point in time.
Yeah.
You sold, am I correct?
Three times.
So you sit and look at, you sold three times? I sold twice. So that's amazing.
I win.
So what were some of the reasons you sold back then? And are there different dynamics? We should capture that perspective.
Well, I mean, it's a structure. It depends on whether you're a sole owner or have partners. It seemed to be the right time. The first time I sold was we were approached by my warehouse bank.
Oh, really?
All right. So
your warehouse lender picked you up.
The warehouse bank. Yeah,
bank.
The actual bank picked up Associates Mortgage Group because they saw what a good job we did. So they needed some help internally in some of the loans that they were making, and they acquired us. The other time, it was just time for me to go and to move on to something else. And
you're like a bad cold. We can't get rid of you. You say it's time to go, and you keep coming back. Now you're running this and that and doing really well. And it's very glad you don't go. Ready to go. We're glad to have you here. Let's talk about aspects of the strategic part of a acquisition. This is a good time to be for those companies that are well capitalized, that are looking for opportunity to pick up market share in markets where they're not strong. This is a really good time to be doing that. Do you agree?
I totally agree. Not only where they're not strong, but where they don't exist. And to expand into the Midwest, which is always, obviously, being from Kentucky and where my company's prospered, I think, you know, that's probably the best part of the country where the best loans are made. And, whether you're on the East Coast or the West Coast, I almost said left coast, but I mean the West Coast. And, in the heartland, in Missouri, Kentucky, Texas, Tennessee, for goodness sake, Alabama, Georgia, it's a great part to be in. There are a lot of companies that aren't there, and now it's time to move in. So.
Well, it's interesting. There's plenty of financing for this that's here. I had the privilege of running into a guy that I haven't seen in years. Graham Williams is here, along with Amherst and Tim McAvaney, who's here, both of which are Amherst. And they said, Dave, we've got a lot of capital to put behind mortgage lenders, and we're interested. That's one of the reasons they're here attending this IMB conference. Again, another plug for the MBA conferences. If you want to find capital, come to these events. There's guys like Amherst here looking at these kind of where they can invest company. Talk about some of the reasons you sold. Well, you were approached, right? Is that so?
Approached once, had in sometimes partnerships wear out. And
yeah.
So it was time to go in a partnership on the second time. And I don't mean to, and I don't think we are, but I don't want you and I on this segment here to give the impression, that the sky is falling.
Yeah.
I still think it's a great time to be in the business.
Oh, great time.
And there are going to be people starting their own mortgage companies as well, right?
Yeah.
So
we're having a surge of new companies coming in the market.
Sure.
Now, what's different about this group that's coming in, David, and this is like merger acquisition and new stuff. So I guess it's almost a slight departure. But the fact that they're so well capitalized, it's not the thinly capitalized startups that we saw in the last cycle or one of the recent cycles where everyone who is a good originator is opening up a company with a little bit of money. These are guys that have good amounts of capital that are having solid cash on cash balance sheets that are really getting into the marketplace. Any thoughts on what you're seeing? You are with the Mortgage Collaborative. You have a lot of people wanting to join the collaborative. You have a unique perspective on this. I mean, what are you seeing with these new companies? Well capitalized? In the capitalized, what's your evidence?
The companies in the collaborative, which is the ones I'm closest to, are very well capitalized.
Yeah.
We have 129 members right now as of yesterday. I think 34% of our members are depositories.
Oh, wow.
So we're not just independent mortgage banks. We have small community bank members of the TMC as well.
I want to get into some of the practical aspects. You and I both have sold to mortgage companies, I sold my interest in two mortgage companies, and then we sold the last mortgage company, which I was a part of, an equity partner in. And I think it's good to offer a perspective to those that are looking at the journey of selling the company. Now, one of the opportunities where you sold, it sounds like that happened rather quickly and somewhat unexpectedly. And another time, was there more preparation to that, would you say?
Well, the first time, going back to it, approached by the warehouse bank, nobody...
You didn't see that one coming.
You know, and we'd been with them an awful long time. They watched, because we would put our loans, and they would get purchased off the line all the time. They saw the quality. They saw how we were efficient inside, you know, my staff at the time. And they said, wow, you know, we have some problems of our own. Would you be interested? And so it took about 7 or 8 months of going back and forth to get it going. The second time, as I said, it was just time to split the partnership.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, you agree to disagree, right, and you move on.
Yep. So, and I think you did it in a healthy way. For those that are looking at giving or making a transition or selling a company or acquiring a company, what words of wisdom would you have for them in preparation, in number one, and how far ahead should they start doing that preparation?
Well, it's never too soon.
Yeah.
And you should go with a quality company to come in and put a really objective valuation, have them come in and go through everything you have and value your company so you know what it's worth before you sit down.
Yep.
And you're negotiating from a position of strength. It's like going and getting pre-qualified now,
yeah,
instead of pre-approved if you're a borrower, right? You're a cash borrower, basically writing a contract with a pre-approval. So go value your company and make sure that you know what you have and you're totally transparent, and then you have a position of strength to deal from with whoever you sell to.
Then, you say you can't start soon enough. And then Mitch talked about the importance of getting counsel and getting third-party intervention before you go to an LOI. He was frustrated when he talked. For those that have not listened to Mitch's interview,
that's why Mitch should be here today, because whatever Mitch said is what I should have said.
You're right on with what you follow sync with Mitch. But Mitch was saying, he gets frustrated when he gets brought in after a letter of intent.
Oh, gosh, yeah. That's why I say you can't do it soon enough.
Yeah.
Mitch is exactly right.
Yeah, because you get in. Once that LOI or letter of intent is in place, if there's any adjustments when you start looking at valuations and you start going that, that's where the deterioration of the future success of that relationship can begin to fall apart. Any thoughts on that?
I want to go back and make one more comment. It's always like, you know, when you're the seller, it's always worth more,
yep,
in your mind, your house or whatever it is you're trying to sell, right? And I think sometimes in this particular environment you're in, it depends on how the market is up or down. Sometimes you're going to be a little surprised that maybe your company isn't worth what you think it is, or maybe it's worth more. And then you've got tax implications. How do you take it? All cash, or is it a buyout over time? It depends on whether you're going to go with the acquirer or you're going to keep the people you're acquiring, right? So there's all kinds of legal decisions that have to be made for you monetarily and on the valuation side. So you can look at every aspect. How are you going to take what you're getting for your company and prepare that for your family, right?
Yeah.
So you just got to look at it all the way. It's a life-changing event when you go to sell a company.
There's been some calls that I've gotten where someone has a diagnosis of terminal cancer, for example, and they're in a place where it's time to sell. There's no kids to come in and take over. The spouse isn't involved in the business at all. When that happens, those are just hard phone calls to get as a consultant and someone providing services to the industry. For any thoughts on that? Because we have friends. You know, we both know people who have been through that. What do you – I mean, that's a tough time to be selling a company.
When you're sick and ill?
Yeah, you've been handed basically a death sentence. You're not going to be with – you know, that's a tough call, but that does happen. Which really goes to the importance, what I'm really wanting to go to on that is you've got to start, you should always have a plan to sell your company.
Right.
You should always be in a place, listeners, to, in the event you got that horrible news from your doctor that you've got 6 months to live, you're not scrambling. That's not the time to be focusing in on what should I do with my company. You should already have a plan. You pull that plan out of your desk drawer. You dust it off. You may want to call guys like David Kittle, myself, or you want to call Mitch Kiter and have that. But you should have a plan somewhat at least penciled out of what needs to happen, because whatever time you have left needs to be spent with your family and those you love. And I see a lot of times that happens. And you say, well, it doesn't happen that much, and it's not that often. Well, it happens a little bit more than most people realize. And as the independent mortgage banking owners, or the owners of independent mortgage banking companies, get older, the actuarial tables say this is likely going to be increasing. Any thoughts on that? I want to go to the general market, but any thoughts on that, David?
Well, just quickly, everything you said is true. And I would say you should always have a developing exit strategy, whether you're ill or not. But if that scenario hits and you're ill, all of your focus is going to go to where it needs to be, and that's your health.
Yeah.
So to your point, you need to have a plan in the drawer to pull out, and God forbid that doesn't happen.
Yeah, hopefully you don't have to do it. But David, I'm really interested in the about 5 minutes we got left here to get your perspective on what you see going on in the industry generally. And away from M&A, any comments on M&A would be fine, but generally, what do you see happening in our industry as far as new products, whether it be products and processes or any aspect? I mean, you have a unique perspective in a bit of a crow's nest there at TMC. What would you share with our listeners?
Oh, gosh. I think that companies need to look at consultants. Every once in a while, you need to take a look inside. Everything's going well.
I did
well.
Not pay him to say that, listeners. No. I did not pay him to say that, but it's true.
No, but you do. And have somebody evaluate you. Maybe you're doing something really well or not so well, or maybe you need to be in an ancillary business. You know, whether it's title, or maybe you need to outsource something to, you know, an AMC, or you need to look at other things that you're doing to make yourself run more efficiently. Everybody thinks when things are going good that you're not going to have a flat tire, and you need to be prepared for that.
Yeah.
So I just think you always need to be taking a look inside internally and having an outside person come in objectively looking at your company. That would be my
number one thing that you're recommending. You know, it's really interesting. You know, as consultants, it's who calls. It's the stronger companies that end up calling and asking for, hey, could you take a look at it? We'd love to get your perspective on this.
They're stronger for a reason.
And that's exactly
okay,
the point.
Because they have enough confidence in themselves. They're not, I'll use the word insecure,
right,
enough to think that they can do it all themselves. So when you're really secure in your own skin, and you're confident in what you're doing, then you sit back and you take objective, good criticism.
Let's go to pricing for a minute. Pricing and products. We pretty much had Fannie and Freddie, and that's it. Do you see any new products coming in as far as any innovation? I'm not talking about subprime crazy stuff that we saw. Is there anything new there? Are we kind of be continuing to stick with these products?
Well, it's funny because at dinner last night, hosted by Bill Cosgrove, by the way, here, great meal. We were talking about just this. The thought was, gosh, what if interest rates go all the way to 6.5%? And I'm going, really? I mean, you know, I originated back in the day when interest rates were 17.5. I would have loved to have had 6%. It's all subjective to where you are.
Exactly.
My point was, and I raised it, and I got a lot of pushback. I said, if rates go up, the first thing that happens is all the people that want to buy get off the fence and rush in and buy. So you have that
little
surge, right? Then everybody says, well, rates are up, I'm not going to buy. We will become somewhat, the ARM products will come back into play.
Right.
Now, I got pushed back, and they said, ARMs aren't going to
come back. That's exactly right. That's exactly what happened. We've been through it.
The 3-1, the 1-1, the 5-1 will come back.
Yep.
As rates rise, which will keep rates back effectively, because the millennials,
yep,
who we want to get to buy right now, they don't want to buy a house for 30 years. Nobody stays in their house 30 years except you. So
That's right. We haven't done the estate plan.
That's right. I think the ARM product will come back, and that's good. You know, the caps are good. We've got all the margins. We've got all those worked out, and they'll just be something that will help us originate loans and keep the market going for as rates rise.
We've got about 3 minutes left. What's some exciting stuff that's going on at TMC?
You know,
lots of stuff.
You got to call Rich Swerbinski and Jim Park, and they can give you the real lowdown. They're very, very close to it. But
you're the vice chairman.
It's the excitement of our. We spoke about it earlier. As I'll tell you, there's three things. It's a three-pronged stool. The collaboration labs. Our lenders love it. We can't do enough of them for our lenders at this point. It's almost the demand is more than we can effectively handle. So that's a great thing, great position to be in. So what's going on here right now? I'm going to mention it for the third time. That's the Digital Mortgage Alliance, where the vendors want to do things better, better efficiencies internally for our lenders. And it's just having the family of the network, the power of the network inside the collaborative, where we are seeing efficiencies and margins increased because we have the best vendors and the best lenders doing business together. And, you know, we're going to be almost 5 years old come May. And just as
a theme, you guys been around that long already?
We really have.
Wow.
Yeah.
Blast.
And just doing great.
You guys got a great organization.
And we got a great staff.
You got a conference coming up. When is it? And it's in San
February 11th through the 13th in San Diego, just north of
February 11th. Wow. Right
at the Grand Del Mar. And probably my favorite resort in all the United States, so it's awesome.
Great.
And we can't wait to get there, and only a few rooms left. And,
oh, my gosh, it's already sold out. That's exciting.
Did you get your room left?
Working on it. Okay. Yeah, we may be staying down in the low-rent district there. Yeah. So I can't afford that stuff. I haven't sold that company three times, so I only sold it twice.
Stop it.
Yeah. David, thanks so much for taking time to be with us today. It's always an honor to be with you. It's so much fun having breakfast in your home or lunch in your home. You actually cooked the meal. It was really good last week.
I cooked you breakfast at lunchtime.
You cooked me breakfast at lunchtime. And no, he wasn't in his pajamas still. He was actually dressed. You got to see the kid old state. It's gorgeous. It was a lot of fun being there with you. David, thanks so much for being here.
David, you're very welcome.
It's an honor to have you with us. Folks, appreciate you joining in and being with us as well. Have a great rest of the week and look forward to seeing you back here next week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.